Good morning, good morning. Praise the Lord. Happy Sunday, the first Sunday of July. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Welcome you to Manifest Church live stream in whichever platform you're watching. Welcome to those of you on Facebook, YouTube, Rumble.com. Thank you for joining our stream. We're glad that you're with us. Please, if you enjoy today's service, if God ministered to you through the word, please make sure to hit subscribe and the like button so you can continue to get messages from us. Also, if you're listening on our podcast, we welcome you and pray that God will minister to your heart as well. And also feel free to leave comments as God moves on your heart on how he's ministered to you. All those things help us to continue to beat the algorithms out there and get the message out of Jesus Christ. So we thank you, welcome you to this wonderful time. Also, it's a great week to celebrate our National Independence Day coming up on July 4th. What an awesome time it is to remember the things that our founding fathers did for this country in America. And it's such a blessing, the blessing of liberty that we have to be able to worship God freely in this country. Many of our brothers and sisters around the world do not have the liberties that we have to be able to gather week in and week out without fear of being killed, without fear of being bombed, without fear of our churches being burned down while we're in it, with all kinds of things that could happen and are happening to our brothers and sisters out there who are persecuted. Please, as we talk about our freedom, I also want you to remember in prayer for the persecuted church. Remember them. Think of them in your time of prayer as well. But we celebrate our nation's independence coming up on Tuesday. And so it's going to be a great time of celebration all over this country. And I want to remind you that our founding father were God-fearing people. Their faith is what drove them to have natural freedom, because our freedoms are endowed to us by our creator. They don't come from a government. You don't need Washington to give you liberty. God has already given us liberty. Matter of fact, Jesus says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. The Bible is clear about that. Jesus said, whoever has the Son has life, and whoever does not have the Son does not have life in him. Jesus is our life. And what greater liberty than to be liberated from sin? Amen. So not only did our founding fathers find the liberty in Christ from sin, but they found liberty for this nation from a tyrannical government in Great Britain and that wretched king that was trying to just put the clamps on them. And they freed themselves and they trusted that God would help them fight this battle against a behemoth army. I mean, we were farmers and we had very little resources, but God, who is awesome, and there is no one who can thwart the plan of God. God helped us defeat our enemy. And as a result, we have liberty in this country, and we have been trying to spread liberty around the world. And I know that we have gone far away from that as a country. And I want to ask you to be praying for this country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for those in all the houses of Congress throughout the states. Pray for our senators, congresspeople. Pray for our judges. Pray that they would return to the Lord, that their hearts will be broken, and that the country will repent. And starting in the church, pray for God's people to wake up from their sleep. So anyway, I welcome you, and let's pray as we get started this morning. Father, we love you. We thank you for waking us up this morning and giving us life. We've come to worship and magnify your name because you are good. And because you set us free, Lord, from the shackles and the bondage and the chains we were under by sin and death, now we have eternal life. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did on the cross for our sins. You paid the penalty for our sins. You paid the debt that we could not pay. You paid it for us. And we thank you, Lord. You paid it with your body that was broken for us. You paid it with the blood that was poured out on Calvary. And we thank you for that precious blood of Jesus that washes away the stain of sin in our life. We thank you, Lord, that you paid it all, and all to you we owe. We love you, Lord. Thank you for what you're doing. We welcome you now, Holy Spirit, our helper, our comforter, our the Spirit of truth who helps us in our time of weakness, who is here with us forever. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, now to touch every heart that's here in this building, those who will listen later or watch later. God, may the Holy Spirit be right there ministering to their hearts. May the Word of God prick their hearts, Lord, and bring about a transformation, Lord God. We trust you for the results. We trust you to do what your Word is set out to do, God. I ask you, Holy Spirit, empower me now, Lord. I am weak and you are strong, Lord. I look to you for my strength to be able to preach the Word of God fearlessly as I should, that the Word of God may come forth from me boldly, Lord God, because I know that your Word is true. God, empower me now. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. We ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen, amen. So this morning we continue in part 5 of our series, Spiritual Warfare. Today I want us to do a quick recap of our primary passage there in 2 Corinthians. I want you to go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 6. I want you to see something there, and hold your place there. I want to show you something real quick from our some quotes from our founding fathers, since we are getting ready to celebrate our nation's Independence Day. I want to, Daniel's going to put up on the screen here in just a moment. I want to show you this John Adams quote, writing his wife, Abigail, in 1775. He writes, "But a constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty once lost is lost forever. When the people once surrendered their share in the legislature and their rights of defending that limitations upon the government and of resisting every encroachment upon them, they can never regain it." Wow. This is why it's so important as Americans that we remember the words of our founding fathers. I know that in our schools, these things aren't being taught like they used to be. And therefore, we have been little by little been put in chains by government. Another one, Patrick Henry, in the Virginia Constitution in 1775, he writes, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Man, what powerful words from one of our forefathers. Samuel Adams' speech in Philadelphia in 1776. He writes, "If ye love wealth better than liberty, the tranquility of servitude, then animating contest of freedom, grow from us in peace. We ask not your counsels or your arms. Crouch down and lick the hand which feed you. May your chains at sit lightly upon you, and may posterity forget that ye were our countrymen." Powerful words. It sounds a lot there, Samuel Adams and Patrick Henry, and we see a lot of the parallels from their way of thinking comes from Scripture. The Bible. Jesus said, "What if a man gain the whole world yet forfeit his soul? What does he gain? What has he gained in result of gaining this world? If in the fact that, as he writes here, if you love wealth better than liberty and tranquility of servitude, then animating contest of freedom, then you know what? Go in peace." And see, Jesus saying, if you want to gain the everything of this world, if you want to pursue sin and death, then you know what? Have at it. But you will not gain eternity. There is nothing gained from amassing everything that this world has to offer, because if you forfeit your soul. Jesus would say, "Hey, listen, if you love these things more than me, then you're not worthy to be my disciple. If you love this world more than him." So great wisdom from our fathers. I pray that this would ring in your ears and your heart. You can always go back in the message and look those up. They're quotes you can find on Google. You can just pull them up. Powerful quotes, and just the importance of us remembering that. So let's go on here. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 6. I want to go there first because this was the scripture we launched on when we started this journey in this series, Spiritual Warfare. And we were looking at verses 3 and 6 there in chapter 10 of 2 Corinthians. Here we go. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete. See, I've been teaching for the past couple weeks the importance that we as Christians understand that we are in a spiritual battle. And we are to fight this battle primarily in the spirit. We are to fight in the spiritual realm. We are to fight, and I don't say that to be weird or anything like that, but there is an unseen realm. There is a spiritual realm. There, the Bible is clear that there's battles going on in the heavenlies, and you can turn to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll go there in just a second. But you need to understand that as Christians, we are not unaware of the enemy's schemes. Our enemy is not primarily our neighbor or the liberal or the Republican or the Democrat or the independent or whoever name or label you want to put on. That is not our prime enemy. Our prime enemy is Satan, the great dragon, who has been deceiving the nations. His goal is to bring men to death. And Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and have it more eternal and have it more abundantly. See, Jesus is coming to bring us life. The problem is, as I mentioned to you last week, that the condemnation is already written. Men love darkness rather than light. I don't know how many times I have ministered to people over the years. I have talked to people I love with all my heart, family, friends, and they know in their mind that this is probably correct, that I should follow Jesus. But because they love their sin so much, they're rather being those chains. And that as one of our founders said, that that servitude to this sin, that they can't see that they can be free of it through Jesus Christ. And that's the good news we're trying to bring. But the problem is men love darkness rather than light. And Jesus talked about this in John chapter 3. You can go find it yourself later on. And our hope is that as we continue to lovingly proclaim the good news to our family, our friends, our coworkers, whoever you meet, whatever you're doing, that you share that word. Maybe at that moment they're rejected. Maybe that moment they don't. We know God's word has power to move on someone's heart in the timing that God has set. And we just have to be faithful to sow the seed and allow the Holy Spirit to do his work in convicting the heart. So the battle that we face is primarily to be fought in the spirit. You see, I do, and when I say that, I don't believe the Apostle Paul was limiting our fight to the spiritual realm, because if that's the case, then the Apostle Paul would never have spoken in front of men, would have never confronted the Pharisees, would have never confronted the Jews, would have never confronted people with the gospel. If it was, he would have never spoke at Mars Hill in Athens. He would have never spoke to people if he was only limited to fighting in the spiritual realm. No, we start there because that's where we fight our enemy, our true enemy. And then when we fight in prayer and we fight in that moment, now we can face our enemy in the natural. The person who's being influenced now by the spirit of this age, we have set the tone for that day and what we're going to do in that moment. We come and you do it at any moment. We don't have to pray just in the morning. We can pray as soon as... Man, you could be in a moment where you have to say, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me now. God, I have this situation that I'm about to come in contact with. Help me now. Give me the wisdom I need, Lord. Give me the power I need to go through this moment and to face this opposition and to face this person or to face these people who are coming against me. and help me to remember my true enemy is Satan, the great dragon, the deceiver, the liar. He is our enemy, and his minions are our enemy, not primarily our neighbor or whoever it is that's coming against us. See, Paul isn't limiting that fight there because he says, hey, listen, I know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and yet he's still going to confront people in this church who have been saying things that he's not a real apostle, and he's going to confront them in the natural. But he reminds them that we don't wage war in the flesh. We start in the spirit, and we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. See, we need to understand that it is in the spirit that we get the victory. That's where we get the victory. Our victory comes when we get on our knees in prayer. And that leads me, let's go to Ephesians 6, where we've been talking about putting on the full armor of God. You guys, we've been dealing with that. And so last week we talked about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. The word of the Lord is the sword of the Spirit. That is an offensive weapon. I reminded you last week when Jesus was tempted and when he was in the wilderness. Remember, the Holy Spirit led him to the wilderness, and for 40 days he was fasting. And then on the last day, Satan comes, the great deceiver. He comes to try to deceive Jesus and try to tempt Jesus to sin. And Jesus, with the word of God, confronted the enemy and ultimately defeated him, and he had to go away. He didn't use his own wit. He didn't use his own wisdom. He used the word of God against his enemy. And so now I want us to look at a different weapon that is another offensive weapon, and I believe that offensive weapon is prayer. Prayer is not a defensive weapon. It is an offensive weapon. We come and surrender ourselves. We do as the Apostle Paul writes, he talks to them to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. We come to the Lord, who is our help, who is our strength. We look to the hills from where our help comes from. We look to the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, and we bow down before him daily. And we say, Lord, give me the strength to face what I've got to face today. Give me the wisdom I need, Lord, to be able to speak your word to those around me. God, give me the words to say when I have to confront men with the gospel. God, help me today to be like you. And we surrender ourselves in prayer. Let's read this primary text. Let's go back. This is where we are today. And we'll get to our main verses for today. Again, Ephesians chapter 6. And we're looking at verses 10 through 20. All right. And today we're in primarily focus. After this, we're going to be looking at verses 18 and 19 and 20 and just finishing it up. So it says here, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And here's where we are today, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplications for all the saints, and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Can you see here that Paul is calling the church to pray, and to pray in the Spirit? He calls them to pray all prayers and supplications. He calls them to pray for one another. He calls them to pray for him, so that when he stands in the natural, that he will declare the gospel boldly as he should when he stands in front of people. Remember, the Apostle Paul was standing in front of kings, and he would declare, because this is what Jesus said he would be doing. And he says, I'm an ambassador in chains. You see, he could have cowered out. He could have said, you know what? This is why I'm in jail, because of me talking about Jesus. I better just be quiet. No, he's saying, God, I pray that your people will pray for me, that I may be bolder than I have ever been. And that's what we ought to pray for one another, that we be bold and courageous, that we would remember, that we would not shrink back, but we would be those who believe and are saved. You see, he wasn't worried. His circumstances did not dictate to him. Why? Because he won in the spirit. And he was asking for the body of Christ to enter into that battle, to the offensive battle, to pray in the spirit with him and for one another. See, now the Apostle Paul turns our attention to prayer. Prayer is another weapon that we have against our adversary. Prayer is what connects us to the power source. You know, when we pray, we are connected to the Lord. We come and we humble ourselves. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud. See, the person that doesn't pray, the person that doesn't seek God, is prideful. And as a result, God opposes you. But when you come to the Lord, humbling yourself in prayer and denying yourself, picking up your cross and saying, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Now you're connected to the very power that you need against your adversary. You see, remember Jesus' words to his disciples. He said in John 15:5, I want you to see this. Jesus tells his disciples very, very vividly. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. See, without Christ, we can do nothing. Apart from him, apart from being connected to the Lord, we have no strength against our adversary. We have no strength to live this Christian life. We cannot do it within our own strength. We need the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. We need to be connected and in the vine. We need to abide in him continually. Your life needs to be abiding in Christ. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? Through prayer. Surrendering your life daily in prayer. Having communion with God daily, sitting at his feet, and as Mary did, sitting at the feet of Jesus. When we come in prayer, we sit at his feet and we listen and we talk to him and we ask him for help, and we the Bible says, knock and the door will be open, seek and you'll find, ask and you shall receive. We come into that place to inquire of the Lord. We come into that place to make supplication, to request, to come before him with all of our cares. We cast them upon him. And God gives us the ability to face the day, to face the adversary, to face the moment that we have to face. The problem is pride keeps us from that moment. Satan looks to distract us from that moment with the cares of this world. And they begin to choke us. But God is reminding you today to enter time with him in prayer. Humble yourself. See, in prayer, as I said, we humble ourselves before the Lord and we submit our lives to his will. The Apostle Paul was hinting at this in Ephesians 6, what I read to you earlier. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. It's be strong in the Lord and in the Lord's strength. There is no strength in me. There is no strength in you. You don't have the strength to face this supernatural being called Satan or his demons that are out there. You and I don't have any authority over him apart from that which Jesus gives us. And we can only get that in relationship with him. It is birth from relationship. And as Jesus reminded his apostles when they came back rejoicing, they were all excited. Man, no, man, even the demons are subject to that. Jesus said, wait a minute, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If I'm going to rejoice, not because a demon's subject to me, we know that because of what Jesus did, but I rejoice, Lord, because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I belong to you, that is written with your blood, and there's nothing that can take that out. Hallelujah. There's nothing that can wipe away my name from that book because you wrote it in your blood, and I thank you for that, Lord. And he wants to do that for you today, too. Maybe you're listening. Maybe you come across this message and you're not a believer, God wants to save you. He has sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die a bloody death on a cross for you, to save you from your sin, to save you from that pride of yours that's keeping you from surrendering all to him. Jesus wants to deliver you if you would just humble yourself. You see, there is nothing that this world has to offer that's more important than your soul. Can I ask you a question? If I was to ask you, hey, how much would you give me? How much would you sell me one of your eyes? If I offer you $1 million for one of your eyeballs, would you sell it to me? Okay, what if I up the ante? What if I say I'll give you $10 million if you give me both your eyeballs? Would you think about giving me your eyes? You might say, no, no way. I don't care. I won't give you anything. You know why? Because you need your eyes to see. They're the windows of your soul. If these are the windows of your soul, how much more precious is your soul? Why are you going to damn yourself because of the darkness of this world? This is all going to lead to death. Jesus said the wages of sin is death, but God is offering you eternal life through his son. Surrender your pride today. Call on his name. The Bible says anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, we need to humble ourselves. Paul tells him there in verse 18, he says, pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplications. I believe, according to Scripture, that God has given believers a prayer language. I believe that. I believe it's a language that we do not understand, but only God understands. I believe that as Christians, we have the ability to have a prayer language that we pray in the Spirit, and this is a weapon that we have against our adversary. You know, I understand in the grand scope of Christendom that there are those who don't believe that, and speaking in tongues is what I'm referencing. I understand that. I get it. But it's really a non-essential issue. The problem is that at times we allow traditions to keep us from things that God has for us. You see, there were times when the disciples were out there ministering, and the Pharisees, who were very traditional, they had, and I'm not speaking tradition of like the type of music. We're talking about a traditions of their fathers that they had passed on that were above and beyond the law of God that God actually commanded. They built on those laws, other traditions, and they elevated those traditions above the word of God. And Jesus said to them, he said that they shouldn't do that because they are elevating the traditions of men over the word of God, and we should never do that. I want to tell you, my brother or sister, I'm not here to fight with you. I'm not even trying to convince you. If you don't want to believe that it's on you, but I will tell you, be careful that you approach the scripture with presuppositions. Remember to come to the word of God, humble yourself, and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, help this simple man to become wise. Help me to understand your word. Help me to come to your word in humility and think and to say, Lord, speak to my heart. I don't understand, but I want to know more of who you are. I don't care how many years I've been preaching. I got to come to his word this way. The moment I think I got it, that's the moment I'm falling. We're to always come humbly to the word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to us through his word. Open your heart to his word. But as for Manifest Church, I want to continue to speak to you. God is calling us this weapon to pray in the Spirit. Let's see here. I want to go with you. And I want to say this, that because someone doesn't believe in a prayer language doesn't mean they are not Christians or not devoted to the Lord. That doesn't mean that at all. I wouldn't say that at all of anyone. Because we can differ on non-essential issues. All I'm saying is, hey, before you allow the non-essentials to constantly take us apart, remember, we're to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There are things that are not essential to our salvation that we can have differences of, opinions of, or maybe teachings on, But we need to be careful that all I'm saying is be careful not to close yourself up to the word of God. Okay? To the word of God. So go with me to Romans 8 verses 26 through 27. I want to show you something. In Romans 8, 26 through 27. This is how the Holy Spirit helps us. Romans 8, verse 26 through 27. It says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Amen. God's Spirit helps us, because sometimes, I'm going to tell you, sometimes Pastor Danny doesn't know how to pray for something, doesn't know what to pray. And so he prays in the Spirit, and with words that cannot be expressed, that things that you will not understand, and I don't even understand. But I'm believing that the Spirit knows what needs to be said and prayed and asked for, because he knows the mind of God. He is God, amen? The Spirit is God. And so I surrender to him, and there are moments where I groan, or there are moments where I speak in tongues that I don't even understand, but my spirit is being edified, and I am declaring things in the Spirit that I don't even understand, but God is understanding and he's hearing it. And the Holy Spirit is helping us. You know, I put it like this. There are times my wife and I are asleep and we're laying down, and it's like 12 or 1 o'clock in the morning, and I'm hearing my wife praying in the Spirit, but she's asleep. You see, the Holy Spirit is doing a work, because he doesn't sleep. We're the ones that sleep, but he's doing a work through her life. She's just there, and they're... prayer language is coming out while she's asleep, praying and interceding for someone in her dream. Happens to me. I'm dreaming, and all of a sudden I'm fighting in the Spirit for someone. I'm groaning. I'm saying, uttering words, and things happen. Again, this isn't happen to everybody, but I'm saying these are things that do happen, and they're a part of what God does to his Spirit. We don't even understand what he's doing, but trust him that he is doing it. You don't have to, oh, what am I doing? Man, just know, Lord, these things are in your word. These are things that are experiences that people have had with the Holy Spirit coming upon them. Every time you see in the book of Acts, when the Spirit came upon people, they began to speak in tongues. Why? I don't know. That's what God did. Why am I going to fight about it? Why am I going to argue about it? That's what happened. They got filled with the Spirit and they started speaking in tongues. They got filled with the Spirit and they started prophesying. Don't ask me, ask God. And he'll give you the understanding. But that's what happened. We're looking at the written word that's telling us the eyewitness accounts of things that took place. And yet we get in our little theological corners and we just, we don't need this, we don't need that, you know. We need God. We need to trust him. And we need his word. And the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. How many of you know you're weak? I'm weak, man. I would be the first to tell you I'm weak. I don't have the strength. But God does. And he knows and he helps us. The Spirit intercedes for us with wordless groans. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We're going to be looking at verses 1 through 4, and then we're going to look at also verse 14. 1 got a little headache. All right, 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 4. Pursue love. Man, the first thing in anything, we need to have the love of God. Pursue love. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. So see, when you speak in tongues, the person speaking in tongues is not speaking to men, but to God. He is speaking mysteries. The person doesn't really understand what he's saying unless he prays that God give them the interpretation. But they are speaking a language that only God is hearing them or understanding them. It builds you up. When you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up. It's not for the edification of someone else unless, again, you're able to, God is able to give you also the interpretation of what you just declared out of your mouth. And God can do that. And you can ask him for that because, we all are here to be edified. So if I just start in all my sermon, I'm just going off in tongues and in an unknown tongue to you, and I'm speaking in mysteries of God in tongues, you will not be edified unless someone is able to interpret what I'm doing. You'll be confused. What is Pastor talking about? So we need to be praying. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I'd rather you prophesy because that will build up the church. I don't think he's saying not to speak in tongues because he said, listen, hey, I'm glad I speak in tongues more than any of you. The Apostle Paul writes that. You can read that for yourself. Go, just keep reading those passages and you'll see. You can start in 12 and work your way through 14. It's no coincidence that the chapter of love is in between the gifts of the Spirit because everything we do ought to be motivated and established by love. Faith work itself through love. Amen. Everything we do ought to be done in love, in the love of God. That's why we're to pursue love first. Love, pursue it and earnestly desire. Don't sit back and gag. Well, no, earnestly desire it. Man, God wants to give you good gifts. Don't you believe that? He says, if you who are evil give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Man, our heavenly Father wants to give you that. It's a promise. It's not an understandable language. They speak mysteries by the Spirit. When we speak in tongues, we're speaking in tongues only edifies the one speaking. When you pray in tongues, your spirit prays and your mind is unfruitful. Okay? Look at verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So, again, unless you're asking God to give you the interpretation of what you're saying with those tongues that he's giving you through his Spirit, then your mind isn't going to be fruitful because it doesn't understand. But our faith is we know that we are speaking mysteries to God. And that is a weapon that we have against our enemy. It's like I remember the movie Code Talkers, right? Wind Talkers, I think it was called. And it was the Native Americans that were in the military because of their language. They were the ones to speak this code, this mystery language, to be able to let us know where the enemy was, to give the plans out to the next battalion. I mean, what an awesome strategy, because our enemies didn't know what they were saying. It was code talking, right? Well, in the same way, in this spiritual battle that we're in, God has given us the gift of speaking in tongues as a mystery speech where our enemy doesn't even understand it. God is the one who hears it through his Spirit, and the prayers are answered. Why? Because we know if the Spirit is praying, it's a perfect prayer. Our prayers might be mixed with some of our own feelings and what we think we should do. So remember that. Look, he tells them not only to speak in this, pray in the Spirit, but he says pray all kinds of prayers and requests. I like how this commentator put it this way. He put it with that comment. He says, this is David Guzik. He writes, we should use every kind of prayer we can think of. Group prayer, individual prayer, silent prayer, shouting prayer, walking prayer, kneeling prayer, eloquent prayer, groaning prayer, constant prayer, fervent prayer, just pray. Isn't that good? I mean, any kind of prayer, pray. Because that is our weapon. That is another weapon that we have. We have the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, and we have prayer as a weapon. In 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us to pray without ceasing. In 1 Timothy 2:1, it says, therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, and intercession and giving of thanks be made for all men. We're to pray for everybody. We're to pray for the souls of men. We're to pray for those in authority. We're to pray for those, our neighbors, our coworkers, our family members. We're to pray for their souls. We're to pray that God will reach them. We're to pray that God will cause that heart of stone to become a heart of flesh and that their hearts will be ready to receive the good news that we want to bring them. Pray for your family. Pray for people. Pray for those all around us. Prayer is a weapon. And we're to fight in the Spirit. Amen. Man, what an awesome moment. We come to the conclusion of our series, The Spiritual Warfare, and I pray this series has ministered to your heart. Remember to put on the full armor of God. Remember to submit yourself to the Lord. Then you can resist the devil and he'll flee. Remember to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember to put on the full armor of God that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. God has given us what we need for this spiritual warfare, and I pray that you will receive it. I pray that you would believe his word above traditions, above your own thoughts. Trust in the word of God, and he will never let you down. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you for speaking to our hearts, ministering to us. Lord, even right now, I'm closing with prayer because, Lord, we know that your word has gone forth. And my prayer today is that it would prick the heart, that it would minister to someone. Lord, that it would wake up the church to the reality that we are in a battle spiritually. And that they will be awakened by your Spirit. And that, Lord, they will be revived. That they would humble themselves and receive the word of God. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next time.